speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Tuesday, April the 9th, 2019. We're going to take a look today at some new Democrat candidates, some new demagogues that are out there. Of course, I haven't really taken much of a look at Buttigieg, but he is the darling of the media, and not just the Democrats. He is the darling of libertarians and log cabin Republicans. That's the LGBT of the GOP. Dearly love Buttigieg. And he appears to be fixated on religion. At first, as I said last week, I thought he was trying to inoculate himself from concern of Christians that as a poster boy for the LGBT lobbyists, that he would be pushing a kind of censorship and tolerance control of the free exercise of religion. But I was wrong. He's not trying to inoculate himself against that. He is trying to embrace that and become the champion of that for the LGBT lobby. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Fahrenheit Amazon. Yeah, it's they're out there digitally burning books. And we're going to tell you how that is breaking down, how we are seeing the regulations that are coming from the UK, coming from the EU, how they're going to be focused on the small players in the marketplace, not the big guys like Amazon. Amazon has a virtual monopoly on books, and they're using that monopoly to purge certain political views. They're not going to purge things, you know, a couple of years ago. Actually, it was 2010. How things have changed in a decade. They came under fire because they had a book that was promoting pedophilia. And they said, well, we don't try to police viewpoints. Even if somebody is promoting something that is hateful or even criminal, we're not going to police that. And quite frankly, they have still given a pass to pedophilia. As I just pointed out yesterday, while they are shutting down, I interviewed Del Bigtree, who produced the documentary Vaxxed. While they shut down Vaxxed and say, you're not going to be allowed to see a documentary that examines whether there is a safety issue with vaccines, you know, the only product out there that is made by a big pharmaceutical company that has absolutely no product liability for them, and then the government wants to mandate it for you to boot. How about that? And so you're not going to be allowed to have a discussion of that, but while Amazon shuts down the Vaxxed documentary, you can still buy your child sex toys on Amazon. Yeah, you got little child sex dolls that you can buy on Amazon. And we've got the Queen as part of this as well. The Queen of England. What a surprise. It made the news yesterday that she has stepped in. Said a palace insider, said Meghan Markle, the new Prince Andrew's new consort, Meghan Markle has said in the past that she wants this baby that she's pregnant with to be gender fluid. They're not going to impose any kind of gender on this baby. There was silence from Buckingham Palace. And yet, these people on the inside are saying that as Meghan Markle came out and said, this royal baby will be a vegan as well. So it's going to be a gender fluid vegan. And the Queen says, not vegan. Gender fluid, okay, no problem with that. But not vegan. We're going to draw the line at vegan. Or maybe she can feed them something they catch during the fox hunt or something. The Queen won't have it, says a source to Women's Day. It has created tense discussions between Meghan and Harry, who don't want to upset his grandmother. He's hoping that Meghan will settle once the baby comes, and he's putting the latest polarizing idea down to heightening emotions while being pregnant. Well, we'll see. I think they have truly tapped into the zeitgeist. When we look at the LGBT religion, it has become a religion. And it is a religion of intolerance. And they are not seeking toleration. They demand that you bow down and worship their religion. We'll explore that in more detail on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this April 9th, year of our Lord, 2019. And we're going to talk about religion today. Let's talk about this because there are competing religions that are being offered to us. There are competing ideas about liberty that are being offered to us. Do we want liberty or do we want the Democrats' Equality Act? Is that compatible with liberty? Is that compatible with the foundation of America? We had some amazing statements made in the last couple of days by Mayor Peter Buttigieg. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. We'll just go with Buttigieg. How about that? That seems to fit. That is the identity that he's selling. You got to have a gimmick. Everybody on the Democrat side has got to have some kind of identity politics gimmick. I'm black. I'm female. I'm both. Or I'm most communist socialist. I guess that's where Bernie fits in. Biden, I'm not really so sure about Biden. He's maybe the exception to the rule. He is a square peg for the Democrats' round hole. I don't see him going too far. He is kind of swimming against the grain of the Democrats right now. But of course, Joe Biden has a long history of not supporting the Bill of Rights, not supporting individual liberty, being hostile, as a matter of fact, to natural rights. I've talked about this before, how during the Clarence Thomas trial, what the Democrats are upset with him about is they feel like he did not push those vague, unsubstantiated charges by Anita Hill against Clarence Thomas. He didn't push that hard enough. Instead, what he focused on was the outrage that he felt that Clarence Thomas would talk about natural rights. Because natural rights are in the Declaration of Independence. Natural rights are the basis of our Bill of Rights. The idea that we are created by God, and that has been the foundation for saying that we have certain inalienable rights, and you will not touch them, government. And here's some of them. Oh, and by the way, if we didn't list every single thing, that doesn't mean that that belongs to you. We still retain those powers. The people retain it. The states retain it. Anything that we haven't delegated to you, you still can't touch. But some of these things, like freedom of speech, freedom of the press, free exercise of religion, freedom to assemble. We got people in Hong Kong just convicted because they pushed back against the banning of candidates that mainland China. I guess they are mainstream now, right? Communism is mainstream with President Xi. He has mainstreamed Mao's communism. And those who push back against the dictates coming from mainland China about the Hong Kong elections, and they started a massive protest movement, the Umbrella Movement, they've just been sentenced to public nuisance. The founders of this country knew human nature. They knew the forms that tyranny and oppression would take because they had experienced them. That's why people came to America in the first place, to escape those structures of tyranny and suppression and persecution that they had witnessed, that they had experienced firsthand in England and the rest of Europe. And if we get rid of these prohibitions, it's beyond foolish to do that. But as I said at the top of the hour, you know, as we look at where the zeitgeist is right now, I think nothing says it more than the royal family. You got Prince Charles out there pushing world government population reduction with his Earth Congress. He's working with the advisor to the Pope, saying they need a planetary council and a new set of global rules and a global legislative body. But then you've got the Queen, who is holding the line on tradition, kind of. As I said, Meghan keeps pushing the boundaries with the royals, said a source inside the palace. And it's not being well received, at least not by Her Majesty. Meghan seems to have little regard for royal traditions, but bringing the baby up as a vegan simply won't be tolerated by the monarch. Now, nobody spoke out, had a problem when Meghan said the baby's not going to have any gender associated with it. Prince, no. Princess, no. princeling. Maybe we'll call it a princeling or prince thing. Princess thing. I don't know. Prince thing. That's still genderish. Maybe princeling. The princeling is about to come. Now, they can, you know, not know what the gender is going to be, but it will not be vegan. The queen is going to put her foot down on that. I mean, they don't call these guards around the Tower of London beef eaters for nothing, right? We're not going to jettison that tradition. And then we're going to take a look at Buttigieg, because he made some interesting statements about Mike Pence that I think really portrayed his bigotry and the bigotry of the Democrat Party, the intolerance and the hatred of the Democrat Party. Of course, they tell us that they're doing all of this because we are hateful, because we are intolerant. No, they are the ones who are hateful and intolerant. And I'm going to break this down and show you Buttigieg's gay privilege and how they're really pushing on us a new religion. And you must bow down and worship, or you will be thrown into the fire or into the lion's den. This is where we're headed, folks. Make no mistake about it. Now, before we get to Buttigieg, we have Eric Swalwell announced his 2020 presidential run. And where else would he do it but on Stephen Colbert's program last night? As Breitbart points out, he is one of the most vocal proponents of the Trump-Russia collusion conspiracy. So, you know, based on those credentials, he definitely ought to be somebody who runs for office. I mean, he's, you know, wrong about one of the most important things that has happened in our lifetime. But I think even more important than that is where he has been on gun control, pushing civil war, even nuclear weapons if necessary. You remember the argument that he had back and forth with Joe Biggs over that? Blew up, went viral on Twitter. And he has the audacity to go on with Stephen Colbert. And Stephen Colbert says, well, you've been very critical of Donald Trump, as you have been tonight. And in the past, you have called him a wrecking ball. Now, don't tell me that some arrogant three-term congressman who starts talking about gun confiscation, and when people say, well, if you think that you're going to go around and just take the guns from people, you're going to start a civil war. That is beyond foolish to even talk about like that. You know, you're kind of sounding like a wrecking ball, somebody that wants to start a civil war in the United States. And, of course, the guy that just shot up the mosque in New Zealand was hateful and irresponsible, wasn't he? And yet, he had the same objective that Eric Swalwell did. He said, well, let's take all the guns. We can have a civil war. And Eric Swalwell doubled down on that. He said, well, you know, you can try to resist us, but we have nuclear weapons and they're legit. How about that? How about that? So, yeah, that's a little bit kind of wrecking ball rhetoric on social media, isn't it? Wouldn't you think so? I don't see any bigger wrecking ball than somebody pushing civil war and saying, I'd prefer to have civil war than to allow you to keep your firearms, even though the Constitution that he as president would presumably swear to uphold specifically prohibits what he is advocating. And he goes on as he's talking to Stephen Colbert, part of his canned speech here. Kids who sit in their classroom afraid that they will be the next victim of gun violence, as opposed to lawmakers, he said, who love their guns more than they love their kids. You simplistic, lying demagogue. You are a wrecking ball, and you're lying to everybody. We don't love our guns. We love our liberty, and we love being able to defend ourselves and our kids and our lives, and we have a right to do it, Eric Swalwell, and we'll do it against you if we have to. Just keep that in mind when you start pushing all these memes about gun confiscation, civil war, nuclear weapons, as some people pointed out on Twitter. Finally, we got what we wanted. Beto with less charm. Another one. He should have gone with submit. We have nukes. Another person said, this should be his campaign slogan. Turn in your guns or we'll nuke you. Eric Swalwell, the guy who said he would nuke America in a tweet, has just announced he's running for president. 2020 is going to be hilarious. Yes, it's hilarious, but it is a dark comedy. Kind of like Dr. Strangelove. Very much like Dr. Strangelove. We are sitting on the edge. We'll be right back. Yeah, you know, 2020 is going to be hilarious in a dark comedy kind of way. You know, I mean, Dr. Strangelove really was funny. But it talked about some very, very serious issues. And that's what we're going to see in these debates. Now, the question is, who's going to be in the debate? As I said, they only have to get 65,000 donors. And the donors have to contribute at least $1. And so you've got a lot of minor candidates who say, all right, we're going to run a GoFundMe to get in the debate. Just contribute $1. We even had one candidate go out there and say, you know, because he's flush with big money donors, he says, if you want to donate just a dollar to get me in the debate, I will donate $2 for your $1. I will donate $2 to your charity of choice. Just get me in the debate. I've got some big money behind me, but I need to have a broader support to get into the debate because I lost track of how many people we've got here. We're starting to get close to 20 different people that have announced that they're running for president. And they're scraping the bottom of the barrel of the Democrat Party. We got Eric Swalwell running. I mean, you don't get any worse than that. Or do you? We're going to talk about Mayor Pete Buttigieg in just a moment. Mike Gravel, on the other hand. Now, you want a dark comedy, you got to have Mike Gravel there. As I said before, I donated $1 to Mike Gravel because I want to see him in the debate. I really do. He is going to be an essential ingredient. For example, if we go back, he's 88 years old, and he said his goal is not going to be to win, but to bring a critique of American imperialism to the Democratic debate stage. Well, that's a noble goal. That's a noble goal. And of course, again, he ran for president, I think, back in 2008. So, you know, 11, 12 years ago, he ran when he was a mere strapling of 76. and he was very entertaining then as well. But he's been on Twitter, and he's got a little bit sharper tweets than even, I think, Donald Trump. He said, Cory Booker, for example, Cory Booker melodramatically declared releasing inconsequential files on Brett Kavanaugh to be his Spartacus moment. Well, he said, here's a picture of me in 1971. I read the Pentagon Papers into the record for hours on end, risking expulsion from the Senate. That's real courage, Corey. So kudos to him for reading the Pentagon Papers into the record. And if he's got the backbone to do that, you can imagine what he would do at the debates. And then he takes on Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar. He says, Amy Klobuchar, who is hard to fight, said, it's hard to fight the big tech firms that abuse American workers when you also like to abuse American workers. And then he takes on Joe Biden. He says, I sure do hope the faucets at Joe Biden's house are strong because he's got a lot of Iraqi blood on his hands to wash off. Ooh. Kamala Harris, says Mike Gravel, just came around to supporting marijuana legalization even though she smoked it herself in college. Meanwhile, I've served as the CEO of two marijuana companies. Well, he could have also hit her on her hypocrisy for locking people up, if she was even telling the truth. We don't know. I mean, you look at, she said, well, I was listening to this particular hip-hop music or whatever while I was smoking pot. I'm cool now, right? Trying to put behind her her legacy of jailing people for very long periods, mandatory minimums that she embraced and put people in jail just for smoking pot, end users. And so the question is, people said, well, you weren't in college. When you, those songs that you said that you were listening to while you're smoking pot didn't come out while you were in college. But don't look at what these people have to say too closely. It just doesn't hold up to any fact-checking. One last one here. He said, the 2020 Democratic field pretends to be progressive, but they don't. But don't buy their lie. Kamala Harris kept innocent men on death row. Joe Biden voted for the Iraq War. Cory Booker invented a drug dealer friend while he voted with Big Pharmaceutical. One person asked him why his campaign was headquartered in Westchester, New York, and he had he was very candid. He said, the teenagers who convinced me to run live there. So let's hope that we have something to laugh about in 2020, because it is going to be very dangerous. What is there? And let me tell you, one of the most dangerous people running for president is Peter Buttigieg. He's trumpeted by the libertarians as at the top of the hour by the log cabin Republicans, that's the LGBT Republicans. Typical of the praise that you see is what we see here on Reason Magazine. Peter Buttigieg is the most interesting Democrat running for president. The person says, I went to a speech that he had, and he was talking about deregulation and decentralization. That's a good start. Well, you've been hoodwinked. This guy is a son of a Marxist, and that is a worse insult than calling somebody an SOB, quite frankly. I don't have anything against the bees. I have something against the Marxists. And then he goes on to say, and he talks about religion as a source of, quote, community and morality and spirituality. Yeah, he talks almost incessantly about religion. This libertarian writing for Reason. So sometimes it's hard to tell whether Buttigieg's talk about freedom more, that's his phrase, let's talk about freedom more. It's hard to tell whether that's just rhetorical gloss, a marketing campaign to sell the same old tax and spend liberal programs by borrowing language from people who really do believe in liberty. Yeah, they're starting to get a clue at Clueless Reason Magazine about Buttigieg. And let me tell you, we're going to talk a little bit about hypocrisy here. But I just want you to look at the hypocrisy on the left. As Buttigieg is part of a party that embraces Planned Parenthood. And we got people like Stacey Abrams saying that this Georgia bill that would ban abortions, the Georgia fetal heartbeat bill, is evil. She said that. I want you to take a look at a video, an exchange between a college student. They have this is at Boston College's Pro-Life Club. It's called Students for Life of America. And the president there engaged somebody in the audience who was pushing back against this. The president is Kristen Hawkins. And so she point blank asked a pro-abortion student whether she believed a baby born alive following a botched abortion should be given medical care. This is a video by that's put up by MRCTV.org. Take a look at how this woman answers. Let's run that.
So do you think that the children that are apprehended at the border that are in government, U.S. government care, whether it's a U.S. government agency or if it's a Catholic relief agency that's being contracted by the government, do you think like babies who are going to die should be resuscitated and be given care? Do you believe that, like, a baby yes. who's born alive during an abortion in a Planned Parenthood should get care?
No.
She said no.
What's the difference? No, my question is, what is the difference? No,
what is the difference? And what is the difference when they take children away from American families? The left doesn't care about that either. We're going to talk about hypocrisy when we come back. That's what Buttigieg wants to talk about.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, we had last week South Bend, Indiana Mayor Peter Buttigieg came out and started talking about the LGBT attack against Chick-fil-A, first at the San Antonio airport here, then also I think it was in Buffalo. It was in New York. I think it was Buffalo airport there. And they said, we're not going to let Chick-fil-A get in here because they're hateful. They've donated to the Salvation Army. And I guess if they find any video footage of you dropping any money into the pot as these guys are out there ringing the bell on Christmas, you could be in trouble too. They might try to shut your business down because, you know, they hate people that they don't agree with. There isn't anybody in the Salvation Army or any of these other Christian groups that are trying to shut down gay businesses. Just isn't happening. Never happened in my lifetime. And yet, these people, if you, there's never any allegation that Chick-fil-A has even refused service or treated anybody who is LGBT rudely. They don't do that. So there's no allegation of any mistreatment. This is going beyond the idea of going to a baker and saying, I want you to custom make a cake for me. I know you're Jewish, but I want you to do some cake celebrating the Holocaust or celebrating Adolf Hitler. I want you to make me a Nazi cake, you Jewish baker. And if you don't, I'm going to shut you down. Well, that's what they do to the Christians, right? Singling them out. Now, Chick-fil-A doesn't make anything custom. It's off the shelf. And so they have to go in and say, well, we don't like the groups that they gave money to, so we're going to shut them down. This is the hatred, the intolerance of these people. They hate you, they hate your religion, and they're going to shut you down. And they've got a legal mechanism to do it now, the Equality Act. And so after Buttigieg kind of played good cop to the LGBT bad cop actions that we saw last week, you know, he said, well, you know, it's Chick-fil-A, they're a private business, they can do that. Now, I do eat there, but I feel really guilty about it. So he pulled back a little bit. Yeah, they're evil. They're evil, but, you know, I still eat there. And I thought, oh, that was kind of clever, the way he walked the line there. Maybe he's trying to inoculate himself, distance himself a little bit from that kind of intolerance. But no, over the weekend, he jumped into it with both feet. I want you to hear what he had to say Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press. Here's where he's talking about how all of you evangelicals who support President Trump are hypocrites. Here's Buttigieg.
You said something rather strong about the president, that you said it's hard to look at his actions and believe that they are the actions of somebody who believes in God. How do you square that assessment with the fact that the evangelical Christian community is so devoted to his candidacy?
Well, it's something that really frustrates me, because the hypocrisy is unbelievable. Here you have somebody who not only acts in a way that is not consistent with anything that I hear in scripture or in church, where it's about lifting up the least among us and taking care of strangers, which is another word for immigrants, and making sure that you're focusing your effort on the poor, but also personally how you're supposed to conduct yourself, not chest thumping. Look at me-ism, but humbling yourself before others. Foot washing is one of the central images in the New Testament. And we see the diametric opposite of that in this presidency. I think there was perhaps a cynical process where he decided to, for example, begin to pretend to be pro-life and govern accordingly, which was good enough to bring many evangelicals over to his side. But even on the version of Christianity that you hear from the religious right, which is about sexual ethics, right. I can't believe that somebody who was caught writing hush money checks to adult film actresses is somebody they should be lifting up as the kind of person you want to be leading this nation.
So let's talk about hypocrisy. You want to say that President Trump is hypocritical because of multiple marriages and affairs that he had. Okay, fine. You want to throw stones in that glass house, Buttigieg? Just take a look, for example. You talk about pro-life. He said, I think this is a cynical process. Okay, so President Trump is cynical. Christians are hypocritical who voted for him. He said he pretended to be pro-life, and he governed accordingly. Well, then he didn't pretend, did he? He governed pro-life, and he has supported the pro-life cause, and he has supported religious tolerance and the free exercise of religion more than any president I have seen in my lifetime. He's been unafraid to stand in defense of innocent life, to stand against the Democrat programs of infanticide and religious intolerance. So he stood for those. So he's not a hypocrite about that. And we're not cynical to say that those things matter. Where the hypocrisy on life and on infanticide is clearly on the Democrat side. You got people like Nancy Pelosi, who claims that she's a Catholic and so forth, and they cry crocodile tears for these children at the border, just like you heard in that exchange. I played the clip from Boston College, back and forth, a Christian group talking about abortion, and one woman in the audience pushed back against it. So the person who was the president of the student group there, the Christian student group, says, do you think children apprehended at the border who are in U.S. government care, do you think that babies that are about to die under those circumstances, you know, they're immigrants, they come across, their parents have drug them across the border, a very dangerous crossing. We've had several of them die. So you could have a child there endangered by the parents who are dragging these children through the dangerous border crossing. They could be about to die. Should they be resuscitated by the American government and given care? Oh, yes, she said. Oh, yes. Okay, well, then do you believe that a baby who's born alive during an abortion at a Planned Parenthood clinic should get care? And the student said, no. No. And she's like, what is this? She said, so you think it's a baby? She said, no. No, it's not a baby. Yeah, we're not going to count that as a baby. And see, they don't care about child separations. And I've done interview after interview, news story after news story, talking about the abuses of Child Protective Services, that massive bureaucracy, tens of billions of dollars they've incentivized to separate children from their parents here in America. American children from their parents, typically poor because they're the ones who can't fight back. Typically, Black and American Indian are the children who are taken. There is no sympathy or discussion of that in the Democrat Party whatsoever. Let's just give the government free rein. And of course, this was put in by Hillary Clinton back in the 1990s, late 1990s. She pushed that. It takes a village to take your child. And they don't care if you're an American. They don't care about separating the children. They don't have to give you due process. There is no due process. They have to get a search warrant to search your house, but they don't need a warrant to take your child. They just steal them from school if they wish. And then you have to take them to court and sue and fight in many cases for years. Many of these people still have not gotten their children back, and the children are abused, typically. 80% of them come out damaged in this child care system. Democrats don't care about that. Democrats don't care about babies who survive an abortion in Planned Parenthood. But a baby who survives parental abuse crossing the border, that baby they care about. So let's talk about some hypocrisy, Buttigieg. He says, even the version of Christianity that you hear from the religious right, which is about sexual ethics. I can't believe somebody who's been caught writing hush money checks to adult film actresses is somebody they would be lifting up as the kind of person you want to be leading the nation. Well, you want to talk about sexual ethics, Buttigieg? You want to talk about Christianity? It's very easy, isn't it, to point out the hypocrisy in other people's lives while you are blind to the glaring hypocrisy in your own life. But this is all about intolerance, really, frankly. He's got his own definition of marriage, and it happens to ignore the Bible's teaching, but he says, Buttigieg says, I'm a Christian. Okay, well, that's fine. I don't really care about going down the list and making a judgment about President Trump's condition, what his condition is between him and God. I pray for him. Pray for him as a person. But as a president, it's important that he respects my religious freedom, that he respects innocent life. Those are the criteria, and there is no hypocrisy in that. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Money. Welcome back. You can tell that it's election time. There is an election in Israel today. And so right on cue, we've got Twitter suspending people's accounts. Now, this account that is suspended is an account that they call themselves Christians, like Buttigieg calls himself a Christian. And they've got their own standards. My definition of a Christian is somebody who follows Christ's teachings. Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say, right? You don't care what he says. Maybe you're not a Christian. Look at this sect here. It's called the Church of Almighty God, CAG. Their core belief is that Yang Jingbin, the wife of the founder of this sect, is the female incarnation of Christ. I guess we could say the reincarnation. She now lives in Queens, by the way. She had to flee China because China doesn't... There's certain things that they don't accept. If she thinks that she's God, there can only be one God in China at a time. And they're not going to allow Jesus or anybody claiming to be a reincarnation of Jesus because they've already got a God called Xi Jinping. Anyway, she had to leave so she could be God somewhere else. They have as their own narrative for how the apocalypse is going to happen, and they have their own scripture, kind of like Buttigieg. They don't see the Bible as the literal word of God, kind of like Buttigieg, but as a human document that has flaws in its teaching, said Holy Folk. Holly Folk, I'm sorry. That is no joke, folks. That's really her name, an associate professor at Western Washington University. This is not going back to the reported plane crash that we had. Remember, we too low? Anyway, she said, the literal word of God is recorded recitations of Almighty God, their leader, who lives in Flushing, Queens. Now, we all know that God does not live in Flushings, Flushings and Queens. Actually, God lives in, what was it? Where does AOC live? Isn't that the Bronx or something? It is Queens. Yeah, it's the Bronx, Queens. It's not Flushing, Queens. So they've got the wrong God as well there. You know, God goes by the initials AOC in Queens, not CAG. Yeah, it all depends on who you follow, right? And so because these people are tweeting about the Israeli election, this Christian sect has had their Twitter account suspended. Not because of being crazy or whatever. I mean, I think they're crazy, but, you know, we tolerate that, don't we? The difference is that we tolerate that, unlike Twitter, unlike the Democrat Party. And we oppose things, and we tell you why that's nonsense. I'd be happy to do that sometime if you want me to go further into that, but I think you can see how that's nonsense. But that is what tolerance is. Tolerance isn't demanding that this person endorse your religious orthodoxy. It is tolerating heterodoxy. It is tolerating dissent. It is tolerating multiple viewpoints, and the Democrats and Twitter can't do that. And so as we look at this, I think we need to understand that LGBT really stands for leftist gender bigots and tyrants. That's really what they have come down to. Because you don't dare question Buttigieg's definition of marriage. If you do, you're hateful, like Chick-fil-A or whatever. I mean, Chick-fil-A is not questioning him, but they have a definition of marriage. I said, this is what we believe marriage. Oh, you can't do that. If your definition is different than his definition, you are by definition hateful because he hates you. You don't dare question his definition of Christianity either, or you're a bigot and a hypocrite. But of course, Buttigieg is free to question traditional marriage. He's free to question traditional Christianity. He's free to reject all those. He's free to question the sincerity of all Christians who support President Trump. And this little Torquemada of the LGBT religion is going to demand that you embrace his religion. You better embrace it. His marriage, his new constitution of equality, the Equality Act, that is going to remove any tolerance, any free exercise of religion. That's the purpose of this. These people lost when they took that Baker took them all the way to the Supreme Court. They came in and tried to force him to worship at their feet. They said, I've already got a God. I don't need the LGBT. And he fought them all the way to the Supreme Court, and he won, as he should have won. Quite frankly, I find it amazing that it's typically the people who want him shut down, who have no problem with the censorship of Twitter and Google, the Gulag, or Apple. They applaud that, as a matter of fact, when they really do have a monopoly. And this Baker does not have a monopoly. No, it was simply an effort to force him to bow to them. And he refused to do it. And so you take a look at the Good Cop Act with Chick-fil-A. Just outside of Buffalo, it's the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority, NFTA. I guess they are putting the trans in transportation. because they say that Chick-fil-A is guilty of funding anti-LGBTQ organizations, you know, such as the Salvation Army, those evil people who help the poor and teach them about the Bible, and support traditional marriage. All those Christian family groups, they're hateful because LGBT people hate them. So they're by definition hateful. The LGBT folks are anti-family, and they, as I said, nobody's trying to destroy gay businesses. But the NFTA, the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority that runs the airport up there, followed on the heels of San Antonio here, city council banning Chick-fil-A from operating in the San Antonio airport for the same reason. And the NFTA said this: we pride ourselves on our strong commitment to diversity and inclusion, and we stand against any form of discrimination. Now, that's hypocrisy. They stand to discriminate against any Christians, anybody who embraces traditional marriage. Traditional marriage, by the way, as I point out many times, that goes back, the definition of traditional marriage that crosses cultures, crosses religions, Islam, pagan religions, all embraced marriage as being between one man and one woman. That goes back to Greece. It goes back to Rome, where homosexuality was widely embraced, but they still had a definition of marriage and family that was one man, one woman. Why? Because they hadn't come up with the idea, except for Plato, that they would steal the children from the people, the one man and the one woman. And that's really what's going on. They're not having children, but they want to steal them from you. So as he came out yesterday, now, I've just played for you the clip where he called Trump this horrible anti-Christian guy and people who support him hypocrites. And then he doubled down again on it yesterday, went after Mike Pence again. And so I tweeted out yesterday, my Twitter account, if you want to follow me, is Libertarian on Twitter. I said, Buddy Gay seems to be focusing nearly exclusively on lecturing Christians about their faith. Is that the role of the president? Are LGBTs now embracing, by the way, biological sexual orientation again after discarding it for transgenders? Because that's what he had to say about Mike Pence. He said, you got a problem with me? Then you got a problem with my creator. Let's play that clip, video clip number one.
And speaking only for myself, I can tell you that if me being gay was a choice, it was a choice that was made far, far above my pay grade. And that's the thing I wish the Mike Pences of the world would understand. That if you got a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator.
Okay, so this was the argument that was put forward to us. I didn't choose to be homosexual. It is by nature that I'm homosexual. And so you have to respect homosexual marriage. But now they're defending the transgender idea, where if you say that somebody is biologically a man or a woman, that is hate speech. That'll get you banned off of Twitter. We've seen that happen. We've seen it happen with feminists. We've seen it happen with lesbians who criticize transgender and say, he's a man. Oh, that you're off now, because we don't have the capability to say that it is biological, it is objective, it is binary. And yet, you know, you got Booty Gay going to the LGBT fundraiser, and he says, you got a problem with the way I was made then. Oh, they need to make up their mind which way they're going to try to roll us on this. We'll talk more about this when we come back. Folks, take a look at the specials we got at InfoWarsStore.com. We've still continued that 50% off special. Actually, we increased it for many of our most popular products. 55, 60% off. Free shipping store-wide. Double Patriot points. InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to continue with the strategy of Buttigieg and the LGBT. There's much more to say about this and about his history of coming after Mike Pence. And I'm not a big supporter of Mike Pence. I think he's a neocon warmonger. I'm very concerned about what Mike Pence did to General Flynn, how he was a part of that group to overthrow General Flynn. I'm very concerned about his connections to Nikki Haley. Because he has connections to Nikki Haley, and so many Christians like Mike Pence, they like Nikki Haley. Let me tell you something. Nikki Haley is antithetical to everything this country is about. She has participated in false flag attacks. She sold the lie of the Skripal attack to try to get us involved more deeply in Syria, even though we were already covertly involved without it being done legally. I can go back, as I've talked many times, the back and forth between Jeff Sessions when he was a senator and Leon Panetta before he was head of the CIA. He was head of the Defense Department. Sessions says, are you going to put troops in Syria? Yeah, if you do that, you're going to ask us first, right? Because under the Constitution, you know, we're supposed to have this vote or something, aren't we? And Leon Panetta arrogantly says, well, we might tell you about that. We'll talk to the UN. We'll talk to NATO. We'll make a decision. We might inform you. Well, they obviously made their decisions and did not inform Congress. Not only did they not even bring it up to a vote, they didn't inform anybody. We found out just a few months ago, let's bring these people home. Oh, I thought you only had a couple hundred people there, maybe. Oh, no, no. Then we find out that it's 4,000 or maybe it's 2,000 or whatever, that they've built a dozen military bases, four airfields. But, you know, we can't protect the border because that's not allowed. But we can sneak troops into Syria. And we can have Nikki Haley and Theresa May produce an absurd terrorism narrative. Absolutely absurd. And I'm not going to go into that again. To lie to get us into that. So we've got a lot of people who love Mike Pence's Christian credentials, and that gaslights them into accepting Nikki Haley. I have real concerns about Mike Pence, not for the reasons that Peter Buttigieg dislikes him. So we're going to talk more about that in the next segment, because we've got a lot of radio stations that carry us, and I want to make sure that a lot of them carry news at the top of the hour. So let's give you some news as to what's going on in terms of the Russiagate investigation. We have Judicial Watch filed a Freedom of Information Act request back in October of 2016. And, of course, the Department of Justice denied it. They always deny any request under FOIA, so you have to sue them. That's what Judicial Watch does all the time. They have to sue the Department of Justice to get the Department of Justice to obey the law. Well, now they have finally complied. Here we are, April of 2019, and they're finally getting the information that they asked for back in October 2016 that the DOJ refused to give them. And here's the bombshell information. JudicialWatch.org reports that they've uncovered cover-up, quote-unquote cover-up discussions in Clinton email documents. So part of this request, so they said, well, we want to we want to be able to examine all records of communication between any agent, employee, representative of the FBI and so forth to the DNC, to the presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton, and so on. Well, what they found, for example, a lot of different emails that they talk about in this article, but here's a key one, I think. An email from December 11th, 2014, that says, quote, Hillary cover-up operation work ticket archive cleanup. That's it right there. That's all you need to know right there. You mean like with a cloth or something? Remember Hillary Clinton? Oh, you wiped your server? Oh, you mean like with a cloth? Oh, gee, I don't know. I'm just a little grandmother. I would never do anything covert like that. You know, I've got all these 30,000 emails or so far. I'd put them on an open server. I even put my name up, ClintonEmails.com. Come and get them, China. And they did. They put a piece of malware on there that sent them a copy of everything she sent and received. So, yeah, Clinton, cover-up operation work ticket archive cleanup.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I said on Twitter yesterday, Booty Gay seems to be focusing nearly exclusively on lecturing Christians about what Christianity is. And my question is this the role of the president? Is he supposed to be our new LGBT pope or something? Are you supposed to define for us, Booty Gay, what real Christianity is? You people can't even get your definitions of sexual orientation straight. Booty Gay says, I can tell you that if me being gay was a choice, it was a choice that was made far, far above my pay grade. I wish Mike Pence would understand that. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator. So he's saying it's by nature. And yet the narrative that we've been sold over the last year or so, and people being banned off of social media for saying that person is a man, or that person is a woman, based on their objective biological genitals. That's what we base gender on. We base it on genitals. You might look up the etymology of those two words and see how they are related to each other. Yes, there is objective reality out there, but we're being gaslighted and lied to by these people on the one end. So you got one end of the LGBT, the T's, are at war with the L's. And maybe with the G's as well. This is a metaphor for the entire Democrat Party. They have tried to break everybody into these little groups and control them, and yet these groups are antithetical to each other. You got a lot of feminists, a lot of lesbians who are very angry about these men saying, I'm a woman, let me compete in your sport. And so they need to get this straight. Yeah, you know, Booty Gay, when I look at the Bible, I'm told that God created man, male, and female. And the way gay marriage was sold to us was to say that this is not anything that I can control. It's actually the narrative that he has there. And yet that's not the tyranny that is being pushed against our children today in the transgender agenda, the kinder gender agenda, because they're coming after kids in kindergarten. And I'm going to tell you how this is a sick human experimentation with some very dangerous drugs that are being used. We've got some doctors who are calling this out. There's a Free Thought Project on this covering this. Their article covers this. You've got a lot of physicians who are speaking out saying this is actual human experimentation. It has very dangerous side effects. They're using these drugs for off-label purposes on kids that at a very, very young age could give them lifelong heart problems, could give them cancer, increased risk of cancer, and so forth. They haven't done any tests. So this is something that goes beyond what your religious beliefs are. This is child abuse. This is a pedophile agenda that is being sold to us by these people. And yet, Booty Gay needs to catch up on this and realize that this rationale that was used to push through gay marriage is no longer being used anymore. That's the way these people roll. Anything to get what they are after. And then the lies continue to metamorphosize as they go on. But I really do agree with them about the biological aspect of that. I think we all do have various natures that push us to one thing or the other. For some people, it's drugs. For other people, it's sex. It could be heterosexual sex that we're pushed to have in ways that God says are not good for us. It could be homosexual sex that we're pushed to have. God says, don't do that either. Sex is for one man and one woman. He says, that's the best plan. That's my plan for you. And when we come up with different plans, things don't work out. Quite frankly, it's not the best. Yeah. He's not sending us God's best ideas, we could say about Peter Buttigieg, to paraphrase President Trump. But let's talk about how he hates Mike Pence, because they're both from Indiana, and they've had interactions before. And as Breitbart points out, there has been a history of respect on the side of Mike Pence, but a history of disrespect on the side of Mayor Pete. They said, Pence has a history of treating Booty Gay with respect when he was governor of Indiana, despite the mayor's continued campaign of aggression towards Pence's evangelical beliefs. Pence was kind to Booty Gay when the mayor came out as gay in a June 2015 essay in the South Bend Tribune. Pence said, I hold Mayor Booty Gay in the highest personal regard. We have a great working relationship. I see him as a dedicated public servant and a patriot. Booty Gay points out Breitbart was baptized as a Catholic, and now he attends an Episcopalian church. But he has repeatedly attacked Pence's religious values. He said in a February interview with New York Magazine, Buttigieg said, who would think that this uber evangelical Christian would go down in history as the midwife of the porn star presidency? He said, if he were here, you would think he's a nice guy to your face, but he's just fanatical. That's the way Buttigieg talks about Mike Pence. He said, how could he allow himself to become the cheerleader of the porn star presidency? Is it that he stopped believing in scripture when he started believing in Donald Trump? I don't know. Well, I don't know if Buttigieg believes in scripture. I don't know if he's ever even read it. You know, he kind of edits the Bible to suit himself. It's the same thing that Thomas Jefferson did, quite frankly. I don't know if Thomas Jefferson was a Christian. Thomas Jefferson went through the Bible and he cut out all the different parts that he didn't agree with. It's kind of like Buttigieg. Problem is, I would vote for Thomas Jefferson. I wouldn't vote for Buttigieg because Thomas Jefferson, whether he was Christian or not, respected my religious liberty. He respected my other liberties as well. This son of a Marxist who pretends to be a Christian for the moment doesn't respect any of our liberties. You know, Thomas Jefferson, who went through and edited out things he didn't like out of the New Testament, his proudest accomplishment was how he moved for religious liberty in Virginia. And quite frankly, if you want to talk about President Trump, again, this is, you know, we can be concerned about Buttigieg and about President Trump personally. Pray for them personally. Pray for anybody that you know personally that they would have a relationship with God. But in terms of being president, all I require is that the president respect my free exercise of religion as detailed in the Constitution, and that he respect life that we talk about in the Declaration of Independence, because that is the necessary requirement for liberty. You got to be alive or liberty doesn't really matter, right? There's no liberty for a dead man or a dead baby. And so if you don't respect the family, if you don't respect babies, innocent babies, and if you don't respect my religious liberty, you are unqualified to pontificate about Christianity of all things. About all things. You son of a Marxist. You know, it really is kind of a litmus test of where we are in America. It was just a few days ago as Buttigieg is going all over media trying to redefine Christianity, attacking Christians and so forth. And essentially accusing Christians of being hypocrites. You know, Buttigieg, we don't need an accuser of Christians. We don't need you to accuse Christians. We've already got Satan for that. You want to take the role of Satan? You want to pontificate about your wonderful 2-year marriage? Well, you know, Trump's been married to Melania for 14 years. But that doesn't count. That doesn't count. You know, by the way, you know, 14 years in Hollywood is something of a new record. But, you know, Buttigieg is an authentic Christian, and Trump, we're told, is not by Buttigieg. Yeah, you want to take on the role of the accuser, don't you? Calling everybody hypocrites, pointing out everybody's sin when you are blind to your own. You talk about log cabin Republicans. This is a guy with a major log in his eye, as Jesus said. You're going to take out the splinters in other people's lives. Atheism, of course, is the largest religion in the U.S., and this is the source of our problem with this. This is why we've got practicing overt homosexuals lecturing us on Christianity, because we don't even know what Christianity is. Atheism has increased. Of course, the reports have come out in the last couple of days, or the last 3 decades. Atheism has nearly tripled, 266% increase. There are more atheists than there are Catholics, more atheists than there are evangelicals. And of course, mainline Protestant churches, like the one that Buttigieg attends, Episcopalians, they have declined 62.5% since 1982. Maybe it's because they don't really have any use for what Christ has to say. There's nothing there. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking about Mayor Peter Buttigieg. I've given up on trying to pronounce his name. He's proud of the fact that he's gay, so he shouldn't take exception to that. And so we're talking about his move. First, saying, well, you know, I feel uncomfortable about eating at Chick-fil-A, but I'm not going to boycott them. Okay. But then over the weekend, he goes full on with the LGBT agenda. He calls Christians who support President Trump hypocrites, you know, because we're concerned about protecting innocent life and our religious liberties. And that includes our definition of marriage. That's the problem that they have with us. You know, as we look at the election that's taking place in Israel today, I found it interesting over the weekend, this guy who's a third party candidate, his name is Moshe Feiglin, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm not sure. I don't know a great deal about him, but I was very interested in the headline articles. They called him an ultra-nationalist who wants to legalize pot. They called him a libertarian ultra-nationalist. I thought, ooh, he sounds like me. It sounds like an Israeli version of me. Let me see what this guy's talking about. And actually, I kind of thought he was, at least from what they were saying. He was basically telling the Palestinians, Israel, love it or leave it. You want to be loyal to us? Fine. We'll make you citizens. You declare that you're loyal to Israel. If not, we'll help you to leave. We'll even give you money to leave. How about that? So it's like Israel for Israelis. But he also talked about cutting government, bureaucracy, cutting it in half. See, that's a difference, by the way, folks, between libertarians and conservatives. Conservatives cut taxes. Libertarians cut government spending. Because otherwise you're just piling on the phony debt and going bankrupt. He also talked about legalizing pot. That's a big selling point for him. And I thought this was interesting. He said, let's stop having Israel take all this money from the United States because they're making us weak doing that. We're not developing our own defense industry because we can just, you know, they give us the money and we buy it from their defense contractors, you know, the military industrial complex business model that we have here. That's why we give so much money to all these different foreign countries. So he said, it's making us weak. It's making us dependent. It's making us captive to U.S. foreign policy. Let's be independent. It's like, good for him. Good for him. Israel for Israelis. Want to be independent from the U.S., not take our money. I'm all for all of that. And he wants to leave Israelis alone as well. Can you imagine? He wants to leave me alone. He wants to leave other Israelis alone. I mean, what? You know, what could possibly be? Anyway, it's so close between Netanyahu and Benny Gantz that he could hold the balance of power. You know, the two of them could basically, neither one of them is going to probably get enough votes from what people are expecting. I don't know. We'll see. The election is today. The returns are not going to come in before this program ends. So we'll have to cover it tomorrow as to what happens. It'll be interesting to see. If it is essentially a tie, which is what people are saying, then either one of them could have the balance of power with this guy who seems to be making a last-minute surge in the polls. And there's one more thing that I think is interesting about Feiglin. He put out some 340-some-odd page book, Detailed Policies. I mean, he's not just talking about, you know, he's not hand-waving out there with generalities. He put out a detailed policy book, far more detailed than we're seeing from Andrew Yang, for example. But people, oh, that's great. He's putting out, it's not really detailed. You know, President Trump had a very detailed plan on how to get us back, how to get us for the first time in my lifetime, the first time in the lifetime of anybody alive in America, quite frankly, back to a market system for healthcare. We haven't had that in our lifetime here. We haven't had a failure of the free market in medicine. We have failed to try a free market in medicine in our lifetime. It's one of the reasons why it's so unaffordable. It's because of government control. So you want to make healthcare affordable? You want an Affordable Care Act? Well, then you do things like President Trump outlined when he ran for president. You give consumers choice. You give them information. You give them empowerment, economic empowerment, whether that is medical savings accounts or it's tax deductions or so forth. You give the consumer the power, the choice, the information to make that, and you let us have competition across state lines, many other things that the insurance industry doesn't want to have, that the Democrats don't want to have, that the Republicans don't want to have. And so Feiglin put out this 340-some-odd page booklet. And he said, we're not going to try to distill this election into childish sound bites. We respect the intelligence of the voters, and we're explaining the policies in detail, why we're saying this, what we're saying, and why we're saying it. It's like, good for him. That's also something the Libertarian Party does. But the Libertarians do, in most cases. Not the Libertarian Party anymore. But I remember when I was involved with the Libertarian Party, they had a very detailed political platform. It wasn't anywhere close to 300 pages, though. And it got into all kinds of minutiae about lunar treaties and Lagrange libration points, which I've talked about in the past. I'm not going to go into today. We're not going to get into that kind of minutia. And I want to stay focused on the attacks on religious liberty. One of the things that Moshe Feiglin, the libertarian running in Israel, who was jumping up in the polls, had to say, he said, I don't want government defining marriage, period. So that's a libertarian position. It isn't that we're going to say that here's the definition. It's going to be put out there by the federal government, or it's going to be put out there by John Roberts, or you know, some other unelected member of the nine Nazgul that we call the Supreme Court. They're not going to shove some one-size-fits-all definition down our throats. You just say, hey, you know, you take care of marriage. That was always the Christian position for the longest time, up until the 1700s. There was no government involvement of marriages. If you want to know who was married to who, you went to the various church in a particular locality where somebody lived to see if their marriage had been registered there. And the problem with that was as they started moving around, people became more mobile. You had guys who would marry a woman over here in this village and then go to another village. And, you know, had not just a girl in every port, but had a wife in every village and town. And so, and nobody really realized what was going on with that until the guy died. And then they tried to sort out the estate and they find out that he's got family or wives all over the place. And it's like, oh, now what do we do? So the government started keeping a centralized register and then they started defining it. They should have stopped at keeping the centralized register. You know, just send a thing in and say, we consider ourselves to be married, and whatever you did to get married, that's your business. Whoever you married, that's your business. We're not going to try to manipulate that. And you don't force us to bow down to your version of marriage, LGBT people. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it, but that's what the Equality Act is out there for. And so you've got this guy, Booty Gay, who is not only backing the Equality Act, but now he is trying to back down Christians on basic doctrine. You know, we've seen this across the world, quite frankly. Look at Church of Sweden, for example. They have an LGBT survival guide for Christian queer kids that claims that Jesus was queer. And why not, right? Why not? If we're going to throw the Bible out, we can say anything. And that's why you have Christianity disappearing. It's already gone, folks. It's already gone in these places. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Broadcasting with the power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I haven't even gotten to the non-Christian aspects, the danger of this LGBT agenda coming after people. I'm going to get to that coming up here. But of course, as I said, Booty Gay is a champion of many libertarian writers, many conservative Republicans, many of those who are part of the log cabin Republicans. That is the gay group within the Republican Party. But maybe it's, I don't know what the etymology of log cabin Republican comes from. I don't know where that came from. Maybe as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the writing of Andrew Sullivan, that you saw the article linked on Drudge over the weekend, maybe the log cabin Republicans are so named because they come after the splinter in your eye, but they can't see the log in their eye. Because we've got Andrew Sullivan saying, I'm also struck by Booty Gay's clear religious faith and his winsomeness with which he expresses it. Not something that you see too often in a millennial Democrat. The collapse of evangelical Christianity into a political cult. Oh, really? Oh, really? Has left a yawning chasm for actual gospel-based faith in America. I don't think he's putting out the gospel. I think he's putting out a doctrine of self-righteousness. Yeah, it's one of the most reprehensible things. You know, you call somebody who's a Christian, you call them self-righteous, legalist. You think that you are obeying the law? You think you've earned your way to God? You have no idea what the gospel is about. It's a free gift. It's not based on your works. You're not going to hold your works up there. Say, I merit this. That is antithetical to everything in the Bible, the self-righteousness. And, of course, they're going to define what righteousness is. It's going to be letting immigrants across the border. It's going to be giving government money to people. Not your money. No. It's going to be the government's going to do that. Okay. They're not going to practice any charity themselves. They're going to have the government hand out the money. Now, they're going to use Christianity as a beard to bring in communism. And, of course, that's where this son of a Marxist comes in, Buttigieg. So you got Andrew Sullivan, typically Republican. And he says, the collapse of evangelical Christianity into a political cult has left a yawning chasm for the actual gospel-based faith in America. Buttigieg speaks to that quietly, but defiantly. Like Obama, he has a living faith. Are you serious? Are you serious? What is that faith based in? Who is he following? Again, as I said before, he's accusing Christians of being hypocrites. He's got all kinds of accusations against President Trump, calling him a porn president and so forth. Attacking Mike Pence because Mike Pence has never attacked him. He's only had nice things to say about him. But Mike Pence has a different definition of marriage, and they don't tolerate different definitions of anything. It's their way or the highway. These little Torquemadas. And so the question is, you know, when we look at this Christian church in the Sweden, so-called Christian church, and the survival guide for the Christian queer kids that claims that Jesus himself was queer, they say that they call Jesus queer because they say Jesus is, quote, described as a man who broke the norm. Well, that makes him queer then, I guess, huh? No. He also did not defend the traditional family, they say, and should have known love for many, both men and women. Well, that's just simply a lie that he didn't defend the family. He defined the family. He talked about the definition of marriage given in Genesis. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and so forth. It's marriage between one man and one woman. And yet, this Church of Sweden is pushing this nonsense. Maybe they should get the Bible out. Maybe they should read Genesis. Maybe they should read Romans. Maybe they should read 1 Corinthians, where it says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And listen to how these, it just hits some of our problems. We all have these problems, right? It says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. He puts adulterers right there next to the homosexuals and the sodomites in the King James Version. And so Buttigieg says, well, I'm a proud homosexual and a sodomite, but he's an adulterer. You see how that works? You make yourself acceptable to God by pointing out that you're better than the next person when you really aren't. He goes on to talk about thieves or people who are covetous or people who are drunk. See, and he says, and such were you. Such were all of us. We've all got problems, right? And one problem that's, you know, it isn't worse to be an adulterer than it is to be a homosexual. Neither of those are God's plan. If you want to talk about Christianity, Buttigieg, neither of those. So you want to point your finger at President Trump, call him adulterer, while you're homosexual. That's why I said, you don't want to throw stones in this glass house. That is the hypocrisy that we have. But there's hope for anyone, for Buttigieg or for Trump, or for you, or for me, because God is transformational. He offers us a free gift of grace. He doesn't leave us as we were. And so we look at somebody. The question is, if you've been a Christian for a while, you understand, Buttigieg, maybe you haven't been a Christian for a while. Maybe you haven't been a Christian. I don't know. I'm not going to judge you one way or the other. You like to judge other people. I'm not going to make that same mistake about you. But you're throwing a lot of accusations at a lot of people. And I'm quite frankly sick and tired of the oppression of the LGBT mafia. I'm sick of it. We're not going to put up with your Marxist tactics, your political correctness, your intimidation, your hate legislation against people that you hate. We're not going to put up with that. That's not what America is about. America was founded on Christian principles, and everything that you're doing is antithetical to Christian principles. Now, you may be a Christian. It may be that God's got a lot of work to do with you because you're coming from a Marxist background. You're brought up by your Marxist professor father. And that's the thing. As we look at this, anybody who's been a Christian for a while understands that you can have somebody who maybe grew up in a Christian home and they have all of the external things just to a T. And you look at them and say, oh, that goody two shoes right there. Except they have no relationship to God. And then you've got somebody who maybe was some kind of a hell-raising, deep in the occult or deep into drugs or whatever, but they've had a transformational experience and they're being transformed. And they may not look as good on the outside as this person who grew up in a Christian environment. That's why we don't judge where somebody is. We don't know what their current state is. Now, this guide from the Church of Sweden goes on to say, Virgin Mary was a girl who dared break traditional sex norms in a patriarchal society. No, that's not the point. That's not the point. But we are left here with the question, again, comes up about this LGBT hypocrisy. And whether or not they are going to tell us it's nature or whether it's choice. You know, Buttigieg says that it's his nature. He was created that way. And yet the transgenders are telling us it's their choice and that there is no biological basis. Don't you talk about that? We have to understand, folks, that in this country, if we are going to kill innocent children, if we're going to sexualize and come forward with this pedophile agenda that's being pushed on our kids as we turn them over to the government schools. And it's not just in the UK. It's not just in California. It's happening across this country. If they're going to humanly experiment on these kids with very dangerous drugs in order to alter them physically, as they mess with their minds, we have to understand God offers each and every one of us the option of blessing or curse. There's no middle road here, right? And as those of us who've been to church for a while, we know the hymn, once to every man and nation comes a moment to decide. That's right. In the fight for truth and falsehood, for the good or evil side, this is the moment that we have before us, a great decision. Which way are we headed in this country? Toward blessing or to curse? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. Let's talk a little bit about something that is not religious-based, but it's still coming after our children and is still a part of this LGBT agenda. Again, the T's are at wars with war with the L's and with feminists in general. And they are at war with the family in a big way. They're at war with what Mayor Pete Buttigieg said. He said, I was made gay by my creator. Well, that was what they told us to get gay marriage. But now that the transgenders have taken over the agenda, now we're told that you don't talk about biological, you don't talk about objective, you don't talk about binary. Those are hate terms, and we will purge you out of existence in terms of speech if you talk about biology. Not allowed to say that. And so let's take a look at what's going on. We got in the UK, of course, one of the leading areas pushing the transgender agenda. The kinder agenda, quite frankly, is what it is. Parents have been ID'd as the problem and the promotion of LGBT. This is from WND. They said one school chief thinks that parents are the problem. They're the opposition. They're the problem, they said. The Christian Legal Center's Roger Keyser noted that Parliament approved New draft regulations for the nation's, quote, relationships and sex education, unquote. These are requirements for school. This is what they're going to teach. They're not interested in kids who can think. Oh, absolutely not. Not going to give them the tools of learning. You know, that was what a liberal education traditionally was. It was to give you the tools that would liberate you to educate yourself and to continue your education lifelong. And so we had the basics that were there, reading, writing, and critical thinking. And so, no. They will criticize you if you think. We don't want critical thinking. That's not going to be allowed. We will tell you what to think and criticize you if you think otherwise. So they're going to be promoting the LGBT lifestyle to children as young as five. That's part of the national curriculum in the UK. And as Keyser wrote, perhaps never before in this nation's history have the dividing lines run so deep in relation to education. There appears to be a complete disconnect between government, including those in charge of education, and parents. He said this was highlighted, well, by one primary school governor in Chiswick who, when queried by one of our clients about why parents were not consulted when the school decided to formally partner with an LGBT campaigning group, this school governor was bold enough to say that parents are part of the problem and not the solution. That's right. And they can't have kids, so they're going to take yours if you surrender them to the government schools. Just understand that. And this is what takes us back to the very beginning of the program, where I talked about the people talking to the press inside the people that work inside the palace with the royal family. So, you know, Meghan Markle, she's got these ideas from Hollywood that she's going to raise a kid gender fluid and vegan, and the queen isn't going to have that vegan stuff. Gender fluid, nothing to say about that, but you can't go vegan. That's not protected, but the gender fluid stuff is. Queen Elizabeth doesn't have a problem with that. And so the question is, what are they actually doing to these kids? Free Thought Project has an article, FOIA request reveals that the U.S. government is experimenting on kids as young as eight with cross-sex hormones. Cross-sex hormones may now be given to U.S. children as young as eight in a government-sponsored research program. Imagine giving eight-year-old girls testosterone, said Dr. Michael Laidlaw. He said this at a Heritage Foundation panel. This doctor, Laidlaw said they are in third or fourth grade. This is unbelievable, but it's going on. Now, Laidlaw is an endocrinologist. He discovered via a FOIA request that the minimum age for administration of cross-sex hormones had been lowered from 13 to 8 in a large five-year study being conducted at the Children's Hospital in where else but Los Angeles. He said this whole thing is an experiment on children. You know, we had, in the Nuremberg trials, we brought charges and convicted people who experimented on humans without their consent. And we are pretending that these kids that are 8 years old can consent to this stuff. We want to talk about Operation Paperclip, where we brought these Nazi scientists over, made them part of our biological and chemical warfare system. Well, let's talk about Operation Gender Snip, because as he pointed out, you might as well just castrate these kids, or you know, not just the boys, but you know, take the just chemically sterilize them. That's what they're doing, male and female. This is disgusting. It's beyond disgusting. It's monstrous, and it's being funded by the National Institutes of Health. He blames them for, quote, allowing unethical research to be conducted on children and adolescents. Of course it's unethical, because they cannot consent. And if it's something that is harmful enough, according to the Nuremberg trials, you cannot give consent, even if you are informed. You can't give consent for stuff that's going to harm you. But we're talking about children here. And if you're saying that children can consent to sex change operations, that they can consent to this hormone stuff, then of course they can consent to having sex. If they can consent to having sex change, they can consent to having sex. That's why I said this is all part of the pedophile agenda. They're preparing the way for the pedophiles. They're not preparing the way for the Lord. They're preparing the way for the Lord's of Gender Bigotry and Tyranny in their Equality Act. He said, there's little to stop these researchers from merely removing the gonads of a 4 or 5 year old child who identifies as transgender as an ad hoc puberty blocker in a rush to affirm their identity. He said already children as young as 8 or 9 can be given puberty blockers. They halt the child's development into an adult of their biological sex in preparation for taking the cross-sex hormones, which bestow the secondary sex characteristics of the opposite. So let's show this article. Does somebody out there have the gonads to show this article to Mayor Pete Buttigieg and say, you got a problem with the way the creator created these kids, and you're using very powerful, unproven drugs on them? Because that's the other part of this. These drugs have not been FDA approved for this purpose, so they're prescribed off-label. And their known side effects include not just messing with their hormones, but it includes an interruption of normal brain and bone development. This is kids that we're working with, that we're experimenting on. Human experimentation on children, as well as increased risk of heart attack, increased risk of stroke, increased risk of cancer. The UK's notorious progressive Tavistock gender clinic. At that place, they're treating girls with these drugs, and they have reported greater emotional problems, dissatisfaction with their bodies, even self-harm, said an Oxford professor after he filed a FOIA request. And they are administered on a completely unscientific basis. Folks, this is worthy of Joseph Mengele and his experimentation on young children. And yet it's being done in the UK. It's being done in Los Angeles. It's being done with funding from the National Institute of Health. They said, relying on the child's gender identity, which is defined as a person's core internal sense of their own gender, he said, there's no objective test to diagnose this. What they do is they mess with your children's minds, then they experiment with their bodies. And you would tell me that this isn't about pedophilia? It ultimately comes down to that. That's why there's so much government backing for this, because we get so many pedophiles at the highest levels of government. We are giving harmful therapy, says the doctor, on the basis of no objective diagnosis. Yeah, forget about gender being objective. Yeah, we're not going to allow any kind of biological objective diagnosis of this. And he pointed out that a lot of people say, well, we think that these guidelines that came out in 2016 are caring for trans-identifying children. You know, remember, these kids are 8 years old, some cases. They say, well, we're going to defer to this because this is done by physicians. No, it isn't. It came from a 12-person panel. Less than half of the members were even doctors. And the whole panel was led by a 25-year-old trans-identified female. Many of the people who have done this have called transitioning the biggest mistake of their lives. But we're going to do it to kids. Folks, if you want to support free speech, if you want to support InfoWars, a free press, your free exercise of religion, you know, that was principles that we based this country on. Take a look at the specials we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have 50, 55, 60% off our most popular products. Free shipping store-wide. Double Patriot points. Support your health. Support InfoWars with safe, natural, effective products, and free speech.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, if you look around the internet, if you look around YouTube, there's a channel that will go through and redo movies. They call it How It Should Have Ended, right? And so they'll take a very long thing like Lord of the Rings, for example, is one of the ones I remember. And said, well, you know, instead of having this long quest where they're walking, you know, for three books to drop the ring in the volcano, why didn't they just call in the Eagles and fly them in so they could drop it from the air? You know, that's how it should have ended. It would have been really short. And of course, when we look at Fahrenheit 451, I think how it should have ended, we could have shortened up that book much shorter than even the Cliff Notes. If we just made it into Fahrenheit Amazon. Because, you know, the book burning in Fahrenheit 451, the firemen were actually people who started fires so that they could burn books. Well, at Amazon, we got Jeff Bezos, who started out as a bookseller so that he could ban books. That's really what's going on. Amazon is the digital book burning spree. It's on a book burning spree, reports Breitbart. It's up on Drudge Report. And they point out that by becoming the dominant player in the marketplace, nearly 50% of all physical books, 83% of all ebook sales in the U.S. come from Amazon. So they have the power to cut out anybody. And it is so much easier. It's just kind of like, you know, Lord of the Rings. Just take the eagle and, you know, fly Frodo with a ring from the Shire all the way to to drop it in the mountain. And with Amazon, you could shorten that up because I had to go around and physically burn books. That's so troublesome. You know, you just push a button and they're gone, just like that. Flushed right down the memory hole. And quite frankly, it was an e-book that they first did this to, was, fittingly enough, 1984 by George Orwell. They just purged it off of people's Kindles. That was a few years ago, and a lot of people said, whoa, wait a minute. Did they just fire a shot across the bow, kind of give us an idea of where this whole thing is headed? Why would that book disappear? Oh, it was just a mistake. What were you doing? Proof of concept? You decide you would flush 1984 down the memory hole? And so now he is on a censorship spree, as Breitbart points out. It was a censorship spree that started by targeting extreme ideas. It quickly moved towards the censorship of more mainstream ones. They have banned the book by that was co-authored by Tommy Robinson called Muhammad's Quran, Why Muslims Kill for Islam. The book is a chronological reordering of the Islamic Quran, followed by commentary by Robinson and his co-author, Pete McLaughlin. Amazon did not return Breitbart News' request for an explanation as to why the book was banned. In 2010, Amazon refused to take down a book that defended pedophilia on the basis of the First Amendment. They said Amazon believes it is censorship to not sell certain books simply because we or others believe their message is objectionable. Oh, but that was so 2010. Now we have moved forward in time to 1984. And we have Vaxxed being taken down, as I pointed out, but you can still get your child sex dolls at Amazon. Those are still for sale, just like the book on pedophilia, because they're not going to exercise censorship. Oh, no, not except for Islam or other conservative viewpoints that they don't like. Amazon does not support or promote hatred or criminal acts. They said, however, we do support the right of every individual to make their own purchasing decisions, unless you want to get something that is conservative, unless you want to get something that criticizes Islam, in which case that will not be allowed. You can still get your pedophile books. In 2015, they banned the sale of all merchandise that depicted the Confederate flag, you know, because that's their opinion. And so, but you can still get Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf. You can get The Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx. Those are all available for purchase. So, too, are books by Louis Farrakhan. His racist, anti-Semitic comments can be purchased along with your child sex dolls at Amazon.com.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was just talking at the top of the hour about how Fahrenheit 451 should have ended. Again, you know, we can cut to the chase and we can just make it Fahrenheit Amazon, where they put all the books in electronic format and you just get this politically connected billionaire, richest man in the world. You've got local governments and state governments lined up to throw cash at him. And somehow he got a monopoly. Isn't that interesting how he got a monopoly? Kind of the same way that all these other people who are now being used to shut down our free speech have a monopoly. And so it'd be really easy, instead of going around and starting fires with firemen, having firemen burn books, you can have a bookseller destroy the books because he's the biggest seller. He's got 80%+ of the electronic book market, and it's so easy just to pull the plug on that. But of course, you know, going back in 2010, they wanted to stand strongly against any kind of censorship, even if it was against pedophilia. But today, they proudly censor anything that is conservative, anything that criticizes Islam, anything that talks about vaccines. That's all censored on Amazon. But you can still get your pedophilia, you can still get your sex dolls, you can still get your Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx, you can still get Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler, you can still get all of Louis Farrakhan's hate stuff. You can't get anything that has a Confederate flag on it. I don't think they even sell, I don't even think they are allowed to sell Dukes of Hazzard. In order for them to sell those orange Dodge Chargers or whatever they were, you got to take that Confederate flag off of the top of the car or they can't sell it on Amazon. But we were just talking during the break. Travis, you had a point to make about why it was so safe to stand on the side of the First Amendment in 2010, but not today.
I was just saying it's because there weren't any alternative media sites really out there. People writing these books about these ideas that they had, they were content to sit there and just wait for the mainstream media to say these ideas that they thought they would eventually say. But people are gradually realizing that the mainstream media is not there to represent their ideas or to push their agenda. They're there to push an agenda from the other side.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's Fox News or CNN. You still see the same, you know, opioid ads on each one.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not just the opioid agenda, but the entire agenda from the elites.
Well, yeah, when they shut down the discussion about harmful side effects of vaccines, that is a product by the big pharmaceutical industry for which they have no liability. Don't talk to me about taking drugs when the manufacturer doesn't have any tests done about the safety and the efficacy of their drug, when they are given complete legal immunity for any harm that their product does. Don't even talk to me about taking that drug. I'm not even going, let alone try to mandate that on me, as we've got this California Senator Pan, a shill for the pharmaceutical industry, a physician, but he's pushing this mandatory vaccination across the country, not just in California. But it's a non-starter when you talk about that.
Of course.
Yeah, when we look at what's going on with, when you look at Ray Bradbury's book, Fahrenheit 451, how did they get to the point where they were burning books? Well, you had the population, the point that Ray Bradbury was pointing out, was a population no longer valued really thinking or learning anything. They just wanted to be entertained. And so it was very easy to start to take the books away from them. And then the government really wanted to be able to control the people, because that's what we're talking about here, folks. We said so many times in defense of the Second Amendment that gun control is not about controlling guns. It is about controlling people. And the same thing is especially true when we're talking about free speech and free press. You take those things away because you want to control the people. And in Fahrenheit 451, Ray Bradbury's point was that the government used the excuse of saying, we're going to prevent conflict between people. All these books out here, this book says something, and then that book says something different, and it creates conflict between different people, and we just don't want to have that kind of conflict. And so we're going to shut down all this hateful speech and all this conflicting ideas because we don't want conflict between people. So for your own good, we're going to get rid of all the books, and we'll just present to you, you know, how this is going to work. So that's how it should have ended. They should just, Ray Bradbury should have just said, well, they make all the books go electronic. They put some multi-billionaire in control of this that is operating this political influence game. He's got leverage with the Washington Post. He paid $250 million for it, but it gave him a lot of leverage. And he can use that against the politicians. He can use that against the various regulatory agencies. And believe me, that is coming. He's going to press that advantage. I'm going to put out the number here, folks. If you want to call in and talk about what I've been talking about today, we're talking about, of course, First Amendment, but also about the free exercise of religion. These things cannot be separated. They cannot. Just as Jefferson said, you can't separate life and liberty. The hand of force can disjoin them but cannot separate them. You can't have life without liberty and vice versa. And you can't have free speech and a free press without also tolerating the thing that's going to cause conflict, and that is religious ideas. We need to have a free marketplace of ideas. And we need to be able to examine these things freely without having them shut down. And that's what they don't want to have happen. So if you want to join the program, if you got some comments about what we've been talking about here, you can call 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. You know, we talk about this. Let's talk about where Jeff Bezos is going with his monopoly and how he's going to put pressure on people. This article about their new patents that they've got. They've got patents for changing their drones into airships. So it starts out as a drone. They fly it up to a certain level, and then it has an inflatable membrane and a compressed gas chamber that contains hydrogen. So they can get up to a certain level, and then they can turn it into an Amazon blimp. There you go. that is an actual Amazon blimp. But, of course, that's kind of a representation of what they'll probably do. But they've got other plans as well. They've also been given a patent that shows delivery drones dropping packages from the sky with parachutes. Uh-huh. Another patent describes a self-destructing drone. So if it were to malfunction in the air, the drone would take it apart. Take itself apart to minimize the impact on the ground. They plan to have drones in the sky for the next several years. Within the next several years, I should say. And, of course, the obstacle to that is regulatory. It's not a technology issue. It's a regulatory issue. What Amazon is going to tell people with their friends in government, just as you've got their friends in government, it's one of the reasons why they're sucking up to the regulatory agencies, to big pharmaceutical companies and so forth. They're going to come in and say, we are the only people who are responsible enough to be able to have drone delivery. You can't have a mom and pop organization out there competing against us. Why? They wouldn't be responsible, but we will. You know, we've got these concerns that have governed this in the past, the FAA saying we don't want to have drones that are operated outside of the line of sight of human pilots and so forth. And we want to have constant communication with air traffic control and so forth. They're going to waive all of that for Amazon. Why? Because he owns the Washington Post. Because of regulatory capture. Just look at all the people everywhere lined up to throw billions of dollars at the world's richest man. That's the way this game operates, folks. And that's what's happening to us already with big pharmaceutical companies, with the vaccine industry. Given legal immunity in 1986. And yet, even with that, even with taxpayers handing out money to people who were damaged or killed in the first quarter of 2019, $110 million handed out to people. Of course, it's not enough to stop the big pharmaceutical company because these judgments are nothing compared to the two judgments that you've seen against Monsanto for glyphosate. Absolutely nothing. And it literally is nothing for the big pharmaceutical industry. It's paid for by you and I. It's the government that's handing out that money. So they have absolutely no exposure to that at all. This is the whole point of why you have a lawsuit. If somebody puts out harmful products, you stop them from doing it by taking away the product, the profit. But they guaranteed that Big Pharma will keep the profits. They will socialize the losses.
I'm ready.
Welcome back. We're going to take some of your calls here in a moment. I want to give out that number again. It's 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. You know, I talked a lot this program about religious liberty, about how Christianity is being twisted, inverted, perverted by Mayor Pete Buttigieg. And we have to understand, folks, that the free exercise of religion was foundational to America. It's why people came here from England for the most part. And you can even look at somebody like Thomas Jefferson, whose crowning achievement, in his opinion, was his push for religious liberty. Because as people fled from the UK, other places in Europe. They came to America. They set up different states that were where they had an established state church. As I've said before, you know, take a look at it. Maryland, Catholic, Rhode Island, Baptist. And it was Rhode Island Baptist who wrote Thomas Jefferson, said, you know, you're known for editing the Bible. You like to cut out stuff that you don't agree with. Are you going to interfere with our religious liberty here? Because they've already experienced that. That was a core reason why we had the revolution. And it's one of the reasons why it's the very first thing protected in the Bill of Rights. And he said, no, there's a wall that separates me from you. I can't interfere with you. You got a wall protecting you. It's called the Constitution. It's called the Bill of Rights. That was perverted in the mid-20th century by the Supreme Court, who said, no, we're going to put a wall around the Christians. Everything is perverted now by our government, turned upside down, inside out. And that whole separation of church and state, that's where they came from. It's not in the Constitution. And if you want to know who was separated, who had the wall around him, it was the government. But all of our free speech, all of the free press, really is rooted in the struggle for religious freedom. The idea of habeas corpus, the idea of trial by jury and jury nullification, those were established in the trial of William Penn. They told the Quakers, you're not going to have your church services here. We've got an official Church of England, and the Quakers aren't it. And so they prohibited it. And the Quakers continued to exercise their God-given rights, and they continued to meet in that church. So they padlocked the door. And then William Penn, who later founded Pennsylvania, William Penn started holding church services on the steps of the church building. So they arrested him, and they put him on trial, a jury trial. And the jurors there, especially the foreman, Edward Bushnell, and one other guy, I don't recall his name, but they said, what law has he broken? And I said, well, I'm sorry, they didn't say what law. It's clear what law that he'd broken. The law asking habeas corpus was what happened to the to Ed Bushnell and the jury foreman and the guy that was number two. First of all, they nullified this law that said you can't meet if you're not Church of England. So that law was very clear. No question about it. And the jury looked at the law and said, we don't agree with it. And they let him go. The judge was furious, but there was nothing he could do about it because the jury ultimately could veto unjust laws. That's why jury nullification is so important. We've forgotten that here in America. But it was there to defend initially religious liberty. And so these foreman and comes in and says, yeah, I know what the law is. We don't like the law. He walks. And the judge says, okay, you go to jail. You go to jail. Locked Ed Bushnell up. And the number two of the jury. And they were in jail for a while, and their lawyers came in and said, show us the law that they violated with jury nullification. That was called habeas. That established habeas corpus. They said, you have to show us the law that they violated. And they said, well, there wasn't any law that they violated. So they got out. And they also established then jury nullification. But you know, established trial by jury, established, not trial by jury, but established jury nullification, established habeas corpus. That was all based on religious issues. And then you come to America, another big trial, of course, in free speech was a trial of Peter Singer. When I went to the National Press Club to cover Danny Williams' press conference, saying that, you know, as far as he was concerned, he had a lot of very good reasons, money that was given, people told him the physical resemblance. So he believed that he was the illegitimate child of Bill Clinton, and he just wanted Bill Clinton to take a paternity test. He wanted to know. And when he gave that press conference, it was in the Peter Singer room of the National Press Club. They memorialized the Peter Singer trial. Now, this is a publisher in New York. One of the most important trials for a free press, because he criticized the governor of New York, and the governor of New York charged him with libel and was going to shut him down. Now, today, the governor of New York would charge him with hate speech and shut him down. Peter Singer won that trial, established the rights of the free press in that libel trial. And I was just telling my wife the other day, I said, We're either going to keep free speech and there will be an Alex Jones room in the National Press Club, or we won't have free speech anymore in this country. Because what we're seeing right now is as important. The movement against Alex Jones is as important as the government's movement against Peter Zinger. In the days of the physical printing press, that established the idea of the free press. These moves against Alex Jones, and make no mistake about it, they are coordinated just like the social media censorship that was enacted all on the same day by Apple, by Google, by Facebook, so forth, against Alex Jones. It is a coordinated movement. The lawsuits as well as the deplatforming on social media. And if we allow these corporations to be used by the government to shut down speech, then we won't have any free speech. And all these things are tied together in the First Amendment. Your free speech, the freedom of the press, free exercise of religion, they're all together for a reason. They either stand together or they hang separately. Folks, if you want to support us, you can go to InfoWarsStore.com. We still have our free speech mega sale that we put up. Free shipping store-wide, 50, 55, 60% off all InfoWars Live products, a minimum of 50%. You can get 10% off your next order with the double Patriot points that we have there. But again, 50, 55, 60% off all the items. We've got Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, backed by popular demand, and 55% off. We've got all Super Blue products, 55% off. We've got 60% off Brain Force Plus, DNA Force Plus. That's a massive dollar savings off of DNA Force Plus. Our all-natural sleep aid knockout, Silver Bullet, that's our colloidal silver product. And Bodies, our all-natural anti-inflammatory product that's got turmeric and other natural ingredients that work together to fight inflammation. All of those are 60% off. Take a look at the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Folks, if you don't support the free press, if you don't support InfoWars, it's up to you. You are our sponsor. Are you going to fight back? Or are you going to let these people gag you, tie you, and throw you in a prison? Because that's where this is headed if we lose our free speech. It is fundamental to all of our liberties. We'll be right back with your phone call. 512-646-4426 if you're here in Texas. We'll be right back.
Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to go to your phone calls now. We've got a lot of people that are lined up. And, of course, if you're going to join the program, we've got about a half hour to take phone calls. We'll try to get to everybody. 888-201-2244. Let's go first to Max in Wisconsin. Max, you said you wanted to talk about Jeff Bezos. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Knight. Huge fan, mega fan. You're one of my favorites ever.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better as well.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Thank you, all of you, for your prayers. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You were talking about Bezos earlier, mm-hmm. and Trump during his frequent rallies often talk about the elites. And I think what's going on with Bezos and other elites like him in 2019, where the corporate logo has become the new monarchical crest, family crest,
yes.
that it's a very good signifier that even someone so wealthy and smart as Bezos cannot do such a simple human interaction experience, which is raising a family and keeping a family together. It's amazing to me that people claim that such people are elite when they have difficulty not even taking care of their wife and end up going with a floozy. And what
good
kind
point.
Of business?
I got to say that. Let me just interject here. You know, Max, you're talking about this. In this business, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of rich and famous people. people you look at from afar, and they've got a lot of accomplishments in their particular field, in their line of work or whatever. But when you see them up close, when you interact with them, you realize that your next door neighbor, who has a wife that he's been married to for decades, is grounded. He has a life. He's got a much better life than these people. No matter how rich, no matter how accomplished they are, they're a mess for the most part. I mean, we see it in Hollywood, for instance. But we idolize these people in Hollywood for the same reasons. Yeah, go ahead. Your point.
Thank you. You know, and as a younger guy, well, not super young, but young adult, you know, I look for role models. And, you know, you want to have good role models. And what kind of role models is this? Not only from a business standpoint, but even at a business standpoint for their shareholders, if you're a stockholder, if long-term, you know, Bezos is not going to take his kids and wife in consideration, how much does he really care about Amazon or any of us, any of his other businesses?
That's right. That's right. Good point.
And the same goes for, you know, like how you're one of the biggest voices about Elon Musk, you know. He's doing some great things, but there's some definite red flags with him as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I also think it's interesting when we look at Jeff Bezos, when this whole thing blew up. Remember, he's spinning one conspiracy after the other, because that's the way this guy operates. He is conspiracy central. I mean, you know, when Hillary Clinton has to come up with some kind of an explanation as to what happened to her, what'd she do? She projects her corruption onto President Trump. You know, you got the Democrats, you got people in the Ukraine. John Solomon's got an article up on the Hill today. Actually, it's like we've been begging the Department of Justice, even under President Trump, to pay attention to the corruption of the Democrats and how they worked here with people in the Ukraine. And I've talked to Lee Stranahan multiple times. I mean, nobody's on this like Lee Stranahan is. He talked about Alexandria Chalupa, Ukrainian American that's affiliated with the DNC and so forth. But there's all this corruption that's going on between the Democrats and Ukraine, and yet they spin this into Trump and Russia and so forth. So we see this type of projection that is going on all the time. But yeah, there is a lot of collusion that's going on with Bezos. And you know, when we look at any of these billionaires, we're told that we have to bow down and worship because they succeeded. It's private property and so forth. It's their right to do whatever they want, and we just need to shut up and take whatever they have to give us. And if they want to take our rights from us, then they can take our rights from us. But that's not the case. These people have worked the political game. There is a Washington game of fascism and deals behind closed doors. That's how they got where they are. As much as anything else, yeah, they're good at, they got some good people working for them. But you look at Mark Zuckerberg, you're going to tell me that this guy is a genius? I mean, you've all seen him being cross-examined by in Congress, and it's like, where did they find this stooge? It's ridiculous. Don't tell me that he should control my free speech. That's every bit as much my property as my car, my home, anything else that I own, my money. Just because a bank is big doesn't mean they get to steal the money out of my account, theoretically. I know that they've got friends in Washington and high places that they do that with. That's the reason that we should be concerned about this. And when we look at the way they are setting up the tools to monitor us, I didn't get to it today. I've got an article about this third-party corporation you've never heard of that's already rating you for a credit organization. And we're not talking about it's in a different way. It's kind of social media rating and so forth. But all of these corporations, I understand, you know, the Democrats are freaked out about corporations always. Corporations can do no good in their minds, and government can do no evil. And conservatives are typically the other way around. They think that corporations can do no wrong and government can do no evil. What they don't see either side is how the two of them are working together in a public-private partnership of fascism. And one of the ways that that works is that they can have these organizations that they enable, that they give subsidies to and so forth, help them to get into position, putting venture capital firms, putting people from the intelligence agencies and the venture capital firms, even creating their own venture capital firm to create these media companies, these social media companies. But they can put these people out there. They say they're private organizations. So any information that they collect on you belongs to them. And they can turn it over to the government without a warrant. See, that's my concern. I'm not concerned about companies that are collecting information on me so they can sell me a shirt They think I like a particular type of shirt or a particular type of camera or a particular type of car, and they want to market that to me. That doesn't concern me. What concerns me is that they get that information and they turn it over to the government that can then profile me and come after me for political persecution. And they say they can do that because that data belongs to the corporations. Thanks, Max. I'm taking a little bit too long. I want to get to everybody here. Let's go to Michael in Rhode Island. You also want to talk about Jeff Bezos. Go ahead, Michael. Hello, Michael, you there?
Hey, David, how's it going?
Going good. How you doing? Thanks
good,
for holding.
Thank you. Last time I called, you were out, but welcome back.
Thank you.
So the date was 1933 when the Nazis started burning the books. So like you said, you're seeing this a lot now with the whole ebook thing and basically representing the ideologies opposed by the Nazis. And they're doing this with, you know, the vaccines and all that and anything mm-hmm. they don't like. So, yeah, it's kind of... It's scary how you see history repeat itself, and you put
yes.
these people in charge, like Bezos and Zuckerberg, and like you said, these guys aren't geniuses. They're stupid. They're just puppets, and I don't know. We got to stand up to these people, and they treat the people, their employees, just how they're like the Nazis did, basically, like concentration camps, except, you know, not as bad, obviously, but.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're experimenting on children in kindergarten, giving them very dangerous drugs that could give them lifelong problems, increased risk of heart attack, stroke, cancer, and so forth, doing it without their consent, gaslighting them, playing psychological games with them, and then physically experimenting on them. I mean, how is that different from Nazi Germany? You've got all the different aspects there. And it isn't just history repeats itself because human nature does not change. That's why what the founders said, the prohibitions that they put in against government power, are so timeless because human nature does not change. They understood the nature of tyranny. They understood that power corrupts. They understood that power centralizes and concentrates. And we've seen this worked out repeatedly in history. And it's going to be worked out against us as well. We say, oh, well, everything is different because we've got different technology. Yes, and the technology makes this far more dangerous. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls. We got Daniel in New Jersey, Jim in Georgia, Damien in Arizona, and others. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're taking your phone calls. We've got one more segment here. We're going to try to get through everybody that's on hold. Let's go first to Daniel in New Jersey. Thank you for holding, Daniel. Go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I got you. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question for you, David. How do we save those who accept the mark of the beast?
How do we do what?
How do we save those who accept the mark of the beast? How do we save those who don't listen to the word of God?
Well, you know, that's my job is not to save anybody. My job is to declare the truth as I understand it and to do it without worrying about the consequences. My job is not to worship the lords of gender bigotry and tyranny, even if they throw me in the lion's den or in the furnace. You know, my job is to do what is right, and that's your job as well. I'm not going to judge anybody for what they do or don't do. And I'm going to just declare what the right thing to do is and get people to understand what the nature is that we are fighting here, the work that they're doing. What do you want to say about the Mark of the Beast? Go ahead. I'll let you talk.
Well, it's obvious that there's microchips and vaccines that are cancer-causing. We just have to call it the Mark of the Beast so that the sheeple will understand, unfortunately.
It presents itself in a number of ways, doesn't it, Daniel? Because I was just talking yesterday about how Mitt Romney is saying, oh, yeah, we got to do something to protect the border. Here's my idea of how to protect the border. We make everybody beg the federal government for permission to work, and we do it with E-Verify. And so everybody gets a number and a code, and the federal government will tell you whether or not you can work or not. Now, there's the Mark of the Beast in one form or the other right there, right? Instead of saying, we're not going to let people who are foreign citizens come here and get free welfare. We're going to say that is a right that we're going to extend to foreign citizens. But for people who live here, people who are citizens, you're going to have to get a privilege to work granted to you by the government. And we're going to give everybody a code, an E-Verify code.
Well, you nailed it on the head. Barcodes, just like in that movie, Idiocracy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're looking for any way they can to control us, to turn all of our fundamental rights into government-granted privileges. And somebody who's right at the center of this is Mitt Romney. Anything else you want to say, Daniel?
The son of Satan, and I'm not a fan.
Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you, Daniel. Let's go to Jim in Georgia. Thank you for holding, Jim.
Hey, David, very happy to hear you have recovered so well.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Love you very much. It's funny. I had a stroke about 4 months ago, and I was on the couch when I heard the news. So I'm not slurring from drinking.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, it happens to all of us. I mean, you know, it's just it is a common situation, isn't it? But go ahead. You sound fine. Go ahead.
Good.
You sound really good.
I wanted to say I had an early view or kind of a heads up because my grandmother had me read Fahrenheit 451, 1984, The Running Man, iRobot, Time Machine, all kind of books when I was pretty young, like about 12 to 15. And so we've had, I've had a kind of an early heads up. And it's funny to see different elements of these books being implemented in the society.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Brave New World as well. Yeah, I mean, look at Brave New World. It's pretty close as well. Yeah, that is absolutely true. I studied all of those in high school. Little did we realize that it was a blueprint, right?
Never an idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they knew human nature, and you know, these are written by people who were part of the globalist elite. You know, they had an idea of where they wanted to take us, and they're kind of putting it out there and getting us used to that idea, kind of normalizing it. And it's real safe for them to put that stuff out, and then at the very end, you know, like with Terminator, oh, well, we'll pull that back, and the good guys will win. You know, so you don't fear that, right? That's kind of the way they put this stuff out there.
Now we know that they were a part of it, but we didn't, or given us a heads up, but we didn't know that then.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Absolutely true. Yeah, I appreciate that. I've only got about 5 minutes, and I've got two or three more people lined up on the phone. Thank you, Jim and Georgia. You're absolutely right. It is, you know, just look at science fiction, and it is now being implemented. Of course, you can get a little bit more explicit if you look at the books by Zbigniew Brzezinski. He kind of laid out the exact steps that he was going through in terms of the trilateral commission that he set up and the technocratic elite, which, you know, for our own good, was going to rule us. Let's go to Damien in Arizona. Go ahead, Damien. Thank you for holding.
Yes, hi, David. I'd like to know if Alex has assigned his son Rexa for military service yet.
If what?
If Alex has taken his son Rex to a recruiting center yet.
I have no idea.
Well, this is actually, you know, I consider you the moral rock at InfoWars. But at the end of the day, Alex is the one that takes the lead. And a few days ago, he actually said, we need to invade Venezuela. I have one simple rule. If you're going to go that far, you better be serious and not to put some skin in the game. And to put a skin in the game means to send your own son, your own daughter, and he has a young wife. You know, we're all equal now, so she should be fine too. And he himself also. You know,
well, I don't know. I didn't hear Alex say that. I've said just the opposite. I've said that I absolutely abhor what Venezuela is doing, but it is not our job to give liberty to anybody because you can't give liberty to anybody. Whenever we go to these different wars and we're always told that it's going to be, you know, we're going to overthrow these tyrants and then we're going to recreate Main Street America right out of Disneyland in these various countries, that never happens. You can't give liberty to people. Because it has to be an organic thing. They have to want it enough that they take it themselves. And so we can't give Venezuela liberty. And as long as Venezuela stays there, they are exhibit A in why we don't want socialism. This is a place that Bernie Sanders loved. This is a place, you know, the Soviet Union is gone, unfortunately, for that illustrative purpose. You know, Bernie Sanders honeymooned in the Soviet Union, but that's gone. But Venezuela And, of course, Nicaragua and the dictators down there, those are places that Bernie loved as well. And so we can take a look at what that looks like and say, no, we don't want that, Bernie. And I haven't heard Alex say that. But certainly I am not in favor of war with Venezuela, war with Iran for either. I mean, we look at what's going on with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is being given nuclear reactors, quote unquote, for the purpose of energy production. The same as Iran. Now, we're told that when Iran does it, they're going to build a bomb. You don't think that Saudi Arabia is going to build a bomb? And so we're supposed to go in and eradicate Iran when at the same time we're giving Saudi Arabia the means to produce a nuclear weapon? These are the lies that were constantly sold by the military-industrial complex, these people who are operating for profit and for war. And I've never seen Alex take that kind of position. I don't think he agrees with that. Quite frankly, we have opposed the war in Syria. We have exposed the false flags that are used to try to get us involved there, to be Al-Qaeda's air force and so forth. I think that's one of the main reasons that we were shut down, is because the military-industrial complex doesn't want us or other people who are pushing back against their war. So I'm not really sure what you heard, but I don't think that's his heart. I don't think he said that.
He clearly said it. Owen Schroeder knows about it. We all were debating it. This was a big topic. And frankly, you're the only one at InfoWars with moral gravity to challenge your own boss on this. He needs to hear from the people who supported him through thick and thin. I spent thousands of dollars. I would not have my dollars going to an organization now actively calling for an invasion of Venezuela as if any war ever goes as planned. This is ridiculous.
Well, I'd be very disappointed to hear that's the case. I don't think that's the case. It certainly isn't the case with me. I oppose war everywhere. I oppose regime change everywhere. I oppose the military-industrial complex, and I understand that the root of the censorship that is there is really coming from the military-industrial complex. It's coming from the Atlantic Council, that's a think tank for NATO, and they helped to fund and create Facebook, and now Facebook's returned the favor. They're paying them financial dividends, these same people that helped to create them. And if you look at the people who have been pushing the fact that this is an information war, we got to shut this down, and the civil war right now, they said, is on social media. That was back in December 2017. Those are the people that are coming from the military-industrial complex, the neocons, the never-Trumpers. And they're the ones who are pushing censorship across the board. After Alex was shut down in August 6th, 2 months later, you had 800 news organizations that were shut down across the board. Not all of them were Trump supporters, but all of them opposed the military-industrial complex, the surveillance establishment, and the police state. That is the common thread, and that is what is ultimately behind this censorship. All right, that's all the time we've got for today. Thank you for joining us.